Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just think of the greatest miracle that you've ever seen. God do. Healing somebody's heart. Somebody's on their deathbed. He raises them up from the dead. Heals a leg. Heals a cancer. That's pretty amazing stuff when that happens. But the greatest miracle ever in your life is when he filled you with his spirit. There's nothing like that in the whole wide world. Because I can go to heaven with lung disease. I can go to heaven with heart disease. I can go to heaven with MS. I can go to heaven with any kind of disease that you can name, cancer. But I can't go to heaven without his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a miracle, my friend. That is the greatest miracle to ever happen to you. Amen. I need his spirit in my life. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't want it? Who wouldn't want this? Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14. Verse 11. Proverbs 14:11. It says, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Anybody living upright? Amen. You're here. You're on 2 feet tonight. Amen. You're living for God. You're standing upright. Amen. God is going to prosper you. Amen. Your life will flourish. Amen. God will come through. Amen. He promises in his word that he will come through. And it's a fact. Amen. That's my message tonight. It's a fact. God's word is a fact. Amen. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. You can hold on to it for eternity. It will come to pass. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God is a God that he sees the big picture of all things. Amen. He's like this. You're in the train of life. And you ever seen a big long train going by and you're like, you can't see the end of it. You can't see the beginning of it. Man, here's this train. It just going on and going on and going on and going on and going on. But God sees the front of the train. He sees all through every car. He sees the very caboose, they don't have them anymore, but he used to see the caboose, the rear of the train. But he sees the curves that are ahead and the curves that they just came through. God sees your life in the big picture. Amen. He doesn't just happenstance know, oh, I just see this part of you. No, he sees the beginning from the end. He sees all the he is the end and the beginning. Amen. Isaiah 46:10 says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. God has your life in order. And that's a fact. Amen. That is a fact tonight. He knows what the beginning of your life was, and he knows what the end of it's going to be. Amen. He has his plan working in your life. Amen. He's trying to accomplish his will, his perfect will in your life. Amen. He is giving you all the options to follow His perfect will. So not only does God know the end from the beginning, He orchestrates the big picture. God orchestrates what is going on around you. Amen. He orders our steps. Amen. God orders your steps. If you're doing your best to live for God, He's got a plan in mind. He's got a end result that He's expecting you to accomplish. It's not just a happenstance and, oh, it's just if I show up, God's going to, you know, He's just going to give me this and it's just going to happen this way. Or no, we've got to purposely desire to do the will of God. There is a will of God and there is a perfect will of God. Amen. God wants His perfect will to be accomplished in every one of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows what you are capable of. Because He sees you totally different than you see yourself right now. Amen. Some of us don't think very much of ourselves. Amen. We beat ourselves up. We fight with ourselves. We tell ourselves we can't do this alone. We can't do this. I'm bad at that. I beat myself up, say I can't do this by myself. But God has other plans. God says, you can. And I'll be there to help you. Amen. It's sometimes we just got to get our minds off of us and on the big picture. And who's in charge of that? Because it's a fact that He's in charge. Amen. He has it all in order in your life. And He wants you to accomplish what He sees all the way through. Amen. He knows where you're headed. He knows where the train of your life is going for. Amen. He sees what tomorrow has in store for you. Amen. He's patiently waiting to allow His perfect will to be accomplished in you. The reason we can declare that Proverbs 14:11 is a fact is that God's word never fails. If God's spoken in His word, you can count on it. It will happen. Amen. It is going to take place. Amen. It has never failed. It has never come up short. God's word will accomplish what it says it will do. It is a fact. Amen. So, we must have more of God and more and have more certain His word. During the reign of King Jerome, in a terrible time of famine, when it struck Samaria, as the result of the siege of the Samaria by the Arameans, though the prophet Elisha, through the prophet Elijah, the Lord made a declaration in 2 Kings 7:1. It says, about this time tomorrow, a sigh of flour will sell for a shekel and two sighs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Doubters put forth arguments as to why this could not possibly happen. But that did not prevent the fulfillment of that word that went forth taking place. You can doubt the word of God all you want. You can throw your hands in disgust and say, I'm so tired of hearing that God is coming. Where is his coming? He's not coming. He hasn't come. It's been how many years? And I'm here to tell you, God is coming. Amen. He will split the eastern sky one day, and he will open up them clouds, and he will come through those clouds, and he will take his church to meet him in the air. Praise God. Those that are ready, those that are hungry, those that are on fire, those that her lamps are filled, will God is going to take us up. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to happen. You can count on that. Amen. I want to be ready. Amen. I want to get you ready to be caught up with Jesus Christ. Amen. We must get all of our family ready. Our children, our loved ones, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles. We must get them ready to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Because it's a fact. God is coming. And he's coming real soon. Amen. We are living in the last days. Amen. Can't think of the minister's name, but this last week, Cunningham preached about this generation they call Generation Z. And he made note that Z is at the end of the alphabet. It's been Generation X, it's been Generation Y, now it's Generation Z. Amen. And he says there has to be something spiritually with the person that comes up with these titles for these generations. There has to be something significant. And he says, I believe it is that Jesus Christ, this is the generation that's going to see the coming of the Lord. Amen. This is the generation that's going to see the revival that's poured out upon all flesh. This is the generation that will see many signs, miracles, and wonders. Amen. This is the generation. You young people are the generation of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a fact. And we can count on it. We can believe God for it. Amen. Whatever you need God to do tonight, get in his word and find out what he has in store for you, because it's a fact. It will happen. It'll take place. Amen. He promises in his word that he will give you life. Praise God. So what do you think? What do we think about the word of God? The factuality of the word of God. Amen. Is it really real? Is this thing really real? Or is it just a thing to do on Thursday night and Sunday and whenever else we decide to pull up on our phone and listen to a word of God or read in the word of God? Is it really real? Come on. 2 Peter 1:19 says, and we have the word, we also have the prophetic message of something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to the light shining in a dark place until the day dawns, the morning star rises in your hearts. It's a fact. So the problem, we got to try to figure out the solution, is not man's job. Not my job to figure out the solution. If God declares something, it is certain to come to pass. And there are many declarations that God has made in this word. So this story begins with the siege of Samaria. And Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And one of the tragic... Of the siege warfare is to starve the residents of the city. They had the city surrounded for so long that they were starving them. There was no food. There was nothing to eat. They were hungry. They were eating things. They were eating lives. They were trying to force them to surrender. And taking every resource that they had to come into them, they were not able to get any food. They were starving. 2 Kings 6:25. It says, and Michal's daughter of Saul had no children. That's not what I'm after here. 2 Kings 6:25. A couple more. It says, there was a great famine in the city. And the siege lasted so long that the donkey's head sold for 8 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. Now, I've never eaten donkey head. I might have eaten hog head because I lived... My parents ate all kinds of stuff like that. they would always say nothing on the hog got away but the squeal. They used everything. It had a use for something, some way to eat. But imagine, here's this city surrounded, and they're eating donkey's heads. Sold for 80 shekels of silver. So, doubt acknowledges God when you doubt. But isn't willing to wait on Him. Second Kings 6:33. It says, while He was still talking to them, the messenger came to Him. And the king said, the disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord? God had created this happening. And they recognized that God had caused this disaster to come upon them. And so here he's saying, why should I wait on the Lord? How many times do we, in our own lives, get ahead of the Lord and try to figure it all out and try to help the situation out and try to work it all out and get impatient with God and say, why should I wait on the Lord? I can take care of it. I can do this on my own. Faith declares, just wait and see. Sometimes we get discouraged when we wait. Nobody likes to wait. Especially if you know something's coming up and you know what time it starts and you got to be there and You like being punctual. You like being there early so you can get a good seat. And it kills you to have to wait. Waiting can sometimes cause us to make irrational decisions. If the word is from the Lord, it will come to pass. If God has spoken to you a word, if he's giving you a promise, if he's spoken to you something that he's going to do, you can mark it down that you are going to go and be where God said he's going to take you.
Amen.
God has promised this church, amen, that he will give us a plan. And he will give us the facilities to facilitate the plan. And I am going to count it and mark it down and believe God and wait patiently and believe. And I am going to see God do his perfect will just like he said. Amen. Hallelujah. God is going to do what he says he's going to do. You can take it to the bank because it's a fact. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. And if he's spoken something to you, hallelujah, you're going to have, it's going to happen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened. Amen. Don't throw your hands up in despair and say, God, why haven't you answered my prayers yet, God? Why are you listening to me, God? I'm here to tell you tonight, he knows where you're at. He knows what's coming. Amen. He's got the answer. It's right around the corner.
Amen.
Just wait on the Lord. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get uptight. Just know it's a fact. What did God tell you? Amen. Then he's going to do it. He's going to come through for you. But it's in God's time. Whoo! Some of us, we hate God's time. Oh, God. You ain't got nothing better to do, God. So your time just, oh. I want to go. I want to do. I want to accomplish. I want to do all these things. But God's just saying, just wait. Just wait. It'll be all right. I see what's going on. I know where you're at. I know what corner you're getting ready to come around. You'll be coming around the mountain. Just kidding. Just popped into my head. God knows. Amen? That's no joke. He knows where you're at. He sees your life. He sees where you're headed. He knows where you are to be. What has he spoken to you? What has he promised you? What has he told you that he... I'm here to tell you tonight, it's a fact. He's gonna accomplish it in your life. Wait on him. Obey the Lord. Hear his voice. And know that it's a word from God. If God has spoken to you a word, it doesn't matter what circumstances come up. It doesn't matter how things in life change. If God has spoken for you to do such and such and go here and do this, do it.
Yes. Amen.
No matter what comes our way. Brother Pritt. And we can believe and understand tonight that it's a fact.
Amen.
God is going to come through. It is the impossible that provides the media for a miracle.
Right.
If you can do it, It's not a miracle.
Right.
If you can make the way happen, you wouldn't need God. Amen? It's the impossible things that creates a miracle. Amen. And we know a miracle worker. Amen. We know a God that does miracles when there are impossible situations for him to work in. The servant on whose arm the king leaned questioned the veracity of the prophet. In 2 Kings 7:2, it says, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat any of it. He could not imagine that over the period of one night, everything would change. Your miracle may be in the morning. Overnight. Overnight. It's a fact. Amen. Don't give up because overnight things changed. It was a miracle. It happened. His worldview was missing one key factor. God. The God factor. The way maker factor. The miracle worker factor. Amen. Are you missing the factor, the fact that God has promised you what he said, amen, and you can be assured that he is going to do what he said he's going to do? Luke 18:27 says, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. How many can think of something impossible with man right now? You're probably looking at some impossible things that you can't figure out how God is going to do this. You just can't see it. You just don't understand, and you're patiently waiting for it to happen, but you're doubting that it's going to happen. Amen. I'm here to tell you that with God, all things are possible. Amen. It's possible. Amen. It is possible tonight. God is going to answer your need. God is going to come through in your life. God is going to speak to your situation. The prophetic utterance had flowed through the lips of Elisha, and how it would come to pass would be up to the Lord. No one would have predicted the four outcasts living outside of the gate of the city of Samaria would have played such a role in the fulfillment of Elijah's prophecy. Four lepers in a state of horrible misery in their life. Just no hope. I mean, just imagine. cast it out of your own family's life, and you're out of the city, and no food, and then this famine comes, and man, life is can't seem to, how can it get any worse? Half your limbs are deteriorated and falling apart, and you're starving to death, and it's just like, who, if anybody in life was going to give up, it ought to have been these four. I mean, just go find a tree and grab the nearest rope. I mean, end it all, for crying out loud. It's just not worth it. Look at, we're done. We're starving. We're miserable. The four men changed the outcome of many people. 2 Kings 7, 3 through 4. It says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we will go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. pretty simple conclusions here. It is, you know, what are we going to do? Why should we sit here till we die? We have nothing to lose. Our future looks bleak. It's pretty bad. I have nothing to lose right now but to try something. So let's just, by chance, they got food over there. They got abundance. They're keeping it all from us. So let's go over there and just, hey, wave the white flag. Hey, woohoo. We want to join your team. Maybe they'll feed us and we'll live. Might have to work for them. I mean, they might do some weird things to us, but we'll live. We have no other option. So within 24 hours, the very words spoken by the prophet Elijah were fulfilled. The fate of the wicked. God has those that oppose you. He's got a place, and he's got something planned for what they're doing against you. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will take care of those that come against you. The Bible declares that in all Israel there were was never a king as wicked as Ahab. Ahab the Aram. Wicked Ahab. 1 Kings 21:25 says, there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He was a wicked king. He was selfish. It was all about him. And Ahab desired Nabal's vineyard. He wanted it and he desired it. In 1 Kings 21:2, Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for the vegetable garden since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. He wanted, he envied, he desired Naboth's vineyard. And the offer seemed reasonable and fair, you know. I mean, I'm going to give you anything you want for it. Amen. Just, you know, think of me. Think of me. It's close to my kingdom. It's close to my where I am. And, you know, this is a much better one for you. The problem was he was self-centered and wouldn't take no for an answer. And 2 Kings 21:4. So Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, I will not give you the inheritance of mine ancestors. He lay on his bed, sulking and refused to eat. He was throwing a hissy fit. Like the little kid in the Walmart wanting a piece of candy. He was probably flailing his arms and legs on the bed. He won't give me that. So we must beware of wicked comforters. 1 Kings 21:5. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? He answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. In those letters she wrote, proclaim a day of fasting, and seat Naboth in the prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's vineyard did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth in the prominent place among the people. Then two scoundrels came and sat opposite him and brought charges against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth has cursed both God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. What a nice lady. This lady's a peach. Man. I was thinking of some woman we've had in our kingdom. When I read this. It is, in fact, the wicked will be destroyed. You don't have to go after them. God is going to take care of them. God will fight your battle for you. Amen? God will, he has your life in control. Amen? He's taking care of your situation. You don't have to get upset, and you don't have to go wanting to get revenge on these people, because God's going to do it in his time. I had a a situation one time. A man bought a car off of me and promised me he's going to pay payments and he's going to take care of this payments on this car. And I reluctantly, you know, family friend, you know, I'll help you out, you know. Got one, maybe two payments, and then never seen the guy again. So I was just like, all right, Lord, you know my needs, you know this situation, you know this, and I just turned it over to the Lord, you know. What are you going to do? You're just trying to be a blessing, trying to help somebody out, you know. And it wasn't a month or two later, this man committed a horrible crime, murder. He murdered a man in his garage, an elderly man, and he's in prison. God, I believe God took care of him. I mean, I turned it over to the Lord. Amen. I just prayed, God, you know this situation. Detectives later come to the house. You know, what's your association with this? What's, you know, explain the situation. God has your back.
Right.
Amen. And he will take care of those that do you wrong. Amen. Because his word promises us that he will have revenge. Revengeance. God will take vengeance on others that come against the people of the Most High God. Even if the wicked don't receive their punishment tomorrow, rest assured, God does not forget. God never forgets. And don't worry about getting even, because it's not your job. Just turn it over to the Lord. Amen. God has a plan for you. Amen. It may seem like, oh man, you drive by these big homes and you drive by, how is it possible? What are these people doing? I'm serving you, God. Don't you understand that? I go to church every Sunday. I go to Thursday night Bible study. God, I read my Bible all week long. I talk to people. I do all these. God, what's wrong with this picture? Look at these people. How is this possible? You know what's possible? The fact is, you're going to a home that's there's going to be an eternity with mansions, streets of gold. You're going to walk on things that they have in their kitchens and in their bathrooms on the toilet handles made of gold. We're going to walk on that in heaven. Pure gold. Praise God, we don't have to worry about the world, what they think they have. They don't have peace like we have it. They don't have joy like we have. They don't have what we have in this place right now. Hallelujah. We have everything. Hallelujah. We must not let our eyes get upon the things of this world and what others have and what others are trying to do to us. Just turn it over to the Lord and let him have it. And just trust the Lord in what he's told you and believe God and walk in it. And I promise you, it's a fact. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God has spoken to you. God has said, hey, I'm going to take you places. I'm going to lead you into greater ministries in your life. Believe God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Lord told Apostle Paul, you're going to go to Rome. And all kinds of circumstances came his way. He was imprisoned. He was beaten and he was shipwrecked and all sorts of things happened. It seemed like he would never get to Rome. But he had a promise. And he says, if you'll stay in the boat, if you'll stay in this boat, we're going to make it. It's going to happen. It's a fact. Just hang on. Hang on to a piece of the boat. If you're holding on to the ship, you're going to make it. Praise God. So you can trust and you can believe that God sees where you're at. And he could turn this situation around tomorrow morning. Overnight. Somebody can rattle their lives and rattle their situation and say, I'm tired of sitting here till I die. I'm going to get up and do something. It may not work the way I want it to work, but at least I'm going to do something. And they changed the whole dynamics of the whole city in a moment. God has it all worked out. Just believe. Just trust Him. Just walk in His presence. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. God has it all worked out. He's going to take care of you. Joseph dreamed all sorts of dreams. In Genesis 3:37-5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So he dreams this dream, and then later on things begin to happen in Joseph's life, and it seems like life went the wrong way. His brothers strip his clothes and throw him in a pit, and then pull him out of the pit and sell him off into slavery, and then tell dad that he's been eaten by a lion, and you know, he's just all gone. So he gets sold down into Egypt, and you know the story. How it just one thing after another, it just seems like, man, Pastor, this life is just one bad story after another. I just get out of one situation and I find myself looking at another one. Joseph easily could have said those things. In jail again? But he determined in his life that I am not going to forsake my God. Amen. And I am going to... He chose a long time ago, Joseph had chosen that he was going to serve God for who God was, not for what situation he found himself in. And he decided, I'm going to live for God. And wherever I find myself, I'm going to present myself as I'm living for God. And that's what where we need to come in to play here. When we're in a situation, everything looks bleak. Everything looks horrible. We can't figure out where we're going. We can't figure out what life has in store for us. I'm here to tell you, just trust the Lord. Do what God wants you to do. He's called you. Amen. It's a fact that what He said is going to happen. You can count on it. Trust the Lord. It may look like you're going through the worst trial or test in your life right now, but He has the answer. He has the answer, and it's just right around the corner. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep walking, and God will bring you out. The upright will flourish. You will prosper. God will bless you. Joseph's time was coming. Amen. God was doing something. God was preparing him. He had a plan. It was a very big plan. It involved a whole saving two nations, Egypt and Israel. Amen. So he had to make sure everything was in place so that he could save Israel. He had it worked out. It just so happened that Joseph had to endure a lot of heartache, a lot of misery, a lot of pain, and just wondering why. But thanks be to God that he chose to just trust the Lord, even in the dungeon. I'm going to serve the Lord and work as unto the Lord. In your job situation, it may seem like the boss hates you because he gives you every bad thing to do. But do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Don't picture your boss. Don't picture him and say, oh, this guy is always wanting to buy. Just go there and do it as unto the Lord. And God will, he will work it all out. He will prosper you. He will bless you. He wants you to go where he's calling you to go. We can't allow circumstances to cheat us out of the blessings of God, because it's a fact of the Word of God. He's spoken it. He's given you a word, and he said, do this, go here, do accomplish my will, and you can count on that God will see you through. God sees the big picture. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what tomorrow holds, and he's got the answer. So before Joseph was sold as a slave, before Joseph was falsely accused and sentenced, before he was forgotten in prison, God saw him as a ruler in Egypt. Second in charge. What's God see you as tonight? He's got a plan, and that plan involves saving the world. Amen. And he wants to accomplish it through you. So it's a guarantee that the tent of the righteous flourish. I didn't give you this one, but Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You can have faith tonight. That is a fact. God is going to see you through, and you will flourish. Let's stand. You will make it. Amen. You will come out on top.
Amen.
God is going to bless. He's got it all worked out. He sees you as great, doing great things for his kingdom. Lord, thank you for your people, God. We want your power and your anointing to move.